of Psalms chapter 100, Psalms 100 tonight. You'll notice that our theme verse for the week is Psalms 100 verses 1 and 2. It says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing." So the next 3 weeks, we're going to break up that chapter, and hopefully by the end of 3 weeks, we'll have a whole chapter of the Bible memorized. So it's a great psalm. Many of you know the psalm. Gives the title there as a psalm of praise. It's actually the end. It's the last chapter in a series of chapters that speak about the millennial kingdom and how Christ Jesus will be exalted. And it's just kind of like the doxology here of that praising. And I think it is a great way that we can learn about praising the Lord and how to have thanksgiving. The title tonight's message is Building Our Lives with Thanksgiving and Praise. Our theme for the year is Rise Up and Build. It's the idea that we're not going to just be happy and satisfied and be complacent in our Christian lives. Instead, we're going to try to grow in our Christian lives, going to try to build in our Christian lives, going to try to add different blocks of a foundation, to try to strengthen our Christian lives. And as we get to we're getting near the end of the year. I know somebody at choir practice had said something, and Brother Jim said, put the book away for this year. And they're like, that's not much longer of the year because there's not many days left. So how are we doing? Are we stronger as a Christian than we were at the beginning? And that's what goes along with our theme song or that little chorus at the beginning. It's a race, and we're heading toward the finish line, and we're going to finish by his grace, but are we getting stronger as believers? There's still time to get in. There's still time to grow, still time to get stronger. As Christ said, he is going to build his church. Always has a desire to us to build in our Christian lives and strengthen our Christian lives. Last Sunday morning, we preached a message about finishing our course of joy. And you might say, well, why do I need to have joy? God told us to. He said in his book, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Even one of the fruits of the Spirit is joy. It goes love, joy. And so last week we talked about having joy. And I tell you, having joy and being thankful kind of go hand in hand. If we're really truly going to build our lives with a block of thanksgiving and praise, which is so important, having joy and being thankful go hand in hand. I don't think I've ever met a joyful Christian that was not a thankful Christian. I don't think I've ever met a joyful Christian that is not a thankful Christian. And this is where we just need to kind of focus a little bit. Because sometimes we lose our joy because we lose the fact of how we should be thankful. Last week in that running with joy, we talked about it involved being led by the Holy Spirit. We talked about how it involved having the right set of values and talked about how it did not let, we involved staying our course. And we're going to go over that a little bit, at least a few of those, as we get into this message tonight. So let's go ahead and read Psalms 100. We're going to read the whole chapter, but it's only five verses, should not take very long. Let's go here. It says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations." Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. And as we get into this message, building our lives with thanksgiving and praise. Lord, help me tonight. Give me the words that you want to be said. Help those that are hearing. Lord, help it to work in their hearts and their lives about being thankful people. I think many of us tonight are thankful, but sometimes in a world that we live in, sometimes we lose that thankfulness. And sometimes we need to have that attitude of gratitude adjusted. And Lord, help us tonight to do a little adjusting and building upon our foundation that we know that we're thankful, we know we have a reason, but help us to grow stronger in this area because it will help us grow stronger as Christians. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, there's a root here, and point number one is the root of building our lives of thanksgiving and praise. You know, if you go through verse number 4, it talks about an outward praise. It's like, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. So it's something that is seen. It's something that's not supposed to be done in private, but it is seen. But before you get to verse number 4, you go through verse number 3, and it shows you the root. And the reason why we can be thankful is because we know who God is. Look what it says in verse number 3. He says, "Know ye that the Lord, he is God." This word "know" means it's to make a distinction. We have to know that he And he alone is God. And he talks about that in his word. We need to nail that down. We need to nail that a mile deep, who God is. As we told you a few years ago about getting the right vision of God, whatever your vision of God is will determine how your Christian life is. If you see God as some type of small, weak thing or something that's not important in your life, you will live a weak, anemic Christian life. If you see God high and lifted up as Isaiah saw him lifted up, and you have the right view of God, and you see that the Lord, he is God, and he is the one that's made us, and he's the one that created us, not we ourselves, that he is high and holy and lifted up, all you can do is, like Isaiah, say, Lord, here am I, send me. Lord, whatever it is that you want to do, Lord, I know you're God. I see that you're God. And when we get to this point of building with this thought of thanksgiving and praise, the first thing and the first important thing is, do you know who God is? And then once you know God and once you see him high and lifted up, you understand his will for your life. Because what it says here, he says, know ye that the Lord, he is God. And he shows it and establishes this. It is he that has made us. You know, so many times, I'm a self-made man, I'm a self-made woman, and I understand what they're saying there and the principle there. I know, I've done all these things, I have, and that's where pride comes in. And God is saying here, look, he's the one that made us. Without him, we would not be here. And he goes the next step, and it keeps on going. He says, and not we ourselves. And he says, look, if you're really truly going to learn how to be thankful, if you're going to really truly learn to praise the right one, that's not us, praise him, you're going to have to learn who God is and build upon that foundation. I see God. I see him high and lifted up. I know he is. He's the one that's made me. I didn't make myself. I can't do this on my own. I am completely dependent upon God. Just as much as I could not make myself, I cannot live the Christian life myself. And he says, not we ourselves. And it's understanding God's will. And this goes back to that verse that we talked about last week in Acts 20:24. When he said, but none of these things move me, neither account my life dear unto myself, that I might finish my course of joy and the ministry. Remember we talked about those points over there. A right set of values means that we're not going to overvalue self. If we truly are going to be thankful, if we're truly going to be thankful, we're not going to overvalue ourselves. As we mentioned today about the choir, how they all work together, where the choir members cannot value themselves and say, hey, look, my voice is more important. I think I know more than Brother Jim. I'm going to overvalue myself and I'm going to sing whatever I want. What's going to happen then? There's going to be a mess. And it's the point here, is that when we understand God's will, it's not about what we want. It's not about our thoughts. It's not about what we desire. He's the one that's made us. He has a will for our lives. And we don't overvalue self, but we value the ministry that we have. And that's what Paul says. Look, I'm going to finish my course of joy, and there's two ways I'm going to do this. First of all, I'm not going to overvalue myself. I see that I am just a creation of God, and I'm going to let him lead and guide me. And I'm going to value the ministry he's given me. I'm not going to dismiss it. I'm not going to minimize it. I'm not going to say, well, all I do is this and all I do that. No. We value the ministry, and that's how we can finish with joy. He said, what does that have to do with this? Remember, a joyful Christian is going to equal a thankful Christian. Because I don't think you can really have joy until you really can be thankful for what God's done in your life. And keeps on going here. Know ye that the Lord, he is God, and is he that has made us. And the next thing I think that is important about knowing God and understanding God is we have to come before his presence. I know there's people in this room who says, I know he's God. I see him high and lifted up. I believe he's God. I believe he has a will for my life. And they can still go and live whatever way they want. They don't spend time with him. And that's what it says here at the end of verse number 2. It says, come before his presence with singing. If we really, truly want to understand what this root, what the basis, what the foundation of being a thankful Christian and a praising Christian, it begins here with knowing God and understanding he has a will for our lives, but it's coming into his presence. When we pray, it's not so much that God might get to know our heart. God already knows our heart, but that we might get to know his heart. As we go deeper into the heart of God, we will love him more, we will worship him more, and we will thank him more. If you find yourself in need of a gratitude adjustment, draw nigh to God. Get near to him. Come into his courts. Now listen, what it's saying here is, this is a private time. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. But he says, when you come before the presence of God and you do it with singing, this is, I think, talking about that private time alone with God. You know, we need to come before God and we need to praise him even when we're by ourselves. And as we come before his presence, as we come before the presence of the Almighty God, we learn of him. He already knows all about us. He already knows all our needs. But when he says, cast your care upon him, he's saying, I want you to recognize that I am God. And I'm the one that's made you. I'm the one that's taking care of you. You need me. You're dependent upon me. You're saying, I can't do this on my own. Please, Lord, help me. So if you really, truly want to be thankful, and I know it's great when you have kids say thank you. And that doesn't happen as much anymore as it used to. It's great when adults say thank you. It's great when we sing praises to God. It's great when we have times of adoration and just song and worship. And I think the song service was great tonight. I think that the spirit of the church and the singing was wonderful tonight. But do you know who God is? And do you see him? And have a right vision of him tonight? Because remember, we didn't create ourselves. He's the one that created us. We are submissive to him. We're submissive to his will. We are submissive to God. And if we look at that as a root and we say, okay, let's build upon that foundation, the other things will become a lot easier. So the first thing is the root of building our lives of thanksgiving. The second thing is why we should build our lives of thanksgiving. You say, okay, Pastor, he's God. I guess I have to do it. And that's not it at all. We get to do it. This is where the thanksgiving and praise comes. It's not, okay, God, you got all these lists, all these rules, you got this will for my life. I guess I'm stuck doing it. That's not what's found here in these praises. Look at what it says. Verse number 5 shows us why we should want to build our lives with God, or build our lives with thanksgiving. First thing is, number 1, because he's good. The Bible says, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. So the first thing is, because God is good. Simply put, the Lord is good. The Lord is good all the time. No matter what we're going through in our life, the Lord is good. You say, well, that word seems pretty limited. Well, that word good can mean good, pleasant, beautiful, delightful, glad, joyful, precious, correct, righteous. It can also mean expensive. Everything God has done is an expression of his goodness. We can praise God, and the reason why we can praise him, the reason why we can be thankful, the reason why, no matter what the circumstance it is because God is always good. No matter what happens in your life, regardless of what happens in your life, God is good. No matter how things turn out, no matter how things just end up happening, God is still good, and we can praise him because he's good. He will always be good, and that's why the people at Thanksgiving, their first Thanksgiving, they could praise him because that group of people knew God is good. And in our lives, I know sometimes we get sick, sometimes things are hard, sometimes things are tough, sometimes it seems like it's unreasonable, unbearable, but don't ever forget this fact. Remember, you have established the fact, you know who God is, you know that he's sitting on the throne. There might be different people on the thrones here in this world, but his throne is high and lifted up. It will never change, and he is God. And when you have that vision, it will be much easier to say, you know what, he's always good. I can't always understand why it happens. I can't understand why that person had to leave us so soon. I can't understand why I had to get sick. Can't understand why I missed this or I missed that. See, when you start doing that, what's going to happen? You're not going to finish with joy. You're not going to be thankful. But when you have this right and say, you know what? God has made me, and the Bible says God is good, I can always be thankful. Now, it's not just the fact that the attribute of God, but look at some of the benefits here. It says, for the Lord is good, his mercy, isn't this wonderful? His mercy is everlasting. Next, we are told that God's mercy is everlasting. We can praise him because he is constantly extending his mercy to us as we go through life. As you know, mercy is defined as not getting what you deserve. We live in a time where everybody has this entitlement attitude. I'm supposed to have this, and I'm supposed to have this. All I want is what I deserve. Believe me, I don't want what I deserve, because I know according to the Bible, because of my sins, I deserve an eternity in hell, and I don't want that. I want God's mercy. I pray for God's mercy. I need God's mercy. And the great thing about it is, it says his mercies, they're not going to stop. They're everlasting. So we do have reasons why we can be thankful. This is another reason why we can be thankful, is because simply God is good. And you know what? His mercy, the fact that we don't get what we deserve. Instead, we have the Holy Spirit of God that lives us. Instead, we have the written word of God. We have all these things. And his mercy, it continues and continues and continues. And the next thing is, he said, not only is it he's good and his mercy is everlasting, another reason why we should be thankful is because his truth endureth to all generations. This is amazing. This was appropriate, and this was right back in David's time or whenever the psalmist wrote this. How many thousands of years ago? It's still true today. 10,000 years from now, it's still going to be true. And I think that's wonderful. We can praise him. We can be thankful. We can worship him because we know that his truth is not going to change. And sometimes people change. We just came from a big political season, and, you know, and both candidates that were running for president, both had changed their opinions over the years. I think that they thought they grew and developed and things like that. But both of them had said different things 8 years later, 10 years later. You know what? What they thought was truth back then changed. The great thing about God, his truth never changes. It endures through all generations. I tell you, that is something that we can be thankful for. Think about it. When he tells you he will save you if you come to him, you can count on it. When he tells you that he is coming back for us someday, you can count on it. When he tells you that it's everlasting life he gives us, you can count on it. It suffice to say, if the Lord tells us anything about anything, you can count on him. And this is the reason why we can praise him. You know, when you get sad, and maybe when things aren't going that well, maybe you don't have anywhere to go for Thanksgiving, or maybe you've had a hard and difficult year. I know a few of you have. Well, we can always say, you know what? He's God. I see him. I know I didn't make myself. God's let me go through this. This is God's will for my life. But God is always good. And his mercy, it's everlasting. And his truth, I can hold to his book. I have his word. It's going to last forever. And it even goes a step farther. Go up to verse number 3 at the end, that last phrase. It says, we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. You know what? We are his sheep. He is our shepherd. He takes care of us. That famous psalm, Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod, thy staff, they comfort me. And he even says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We talked this morning about a pastor being an under-shepherd and the authority of a pastor in the life of the church. And I tell you, I fail. I don't do everything perfect. I don't do everything right, but God never fails. And he's saying, you're my shepherd. You're my sheep, the sheep of my pasture. I'm going to take care of you. And what does a shepherd do? Shepherd leads, the shepherd guides, the shepherd protects, the shepherd nourishes, the shepherd grooms, the shepherd does all these things. We can rejoice because I'm not somebody else's sheep. I'm God's sheep first. He's my shepherd. And the amazing thing is, it says, the Lord is my shepherd. When I'm letting him lead, guide, and take care of me, I shall not want. I'm not going to want. So when we become ungrateful and unthankful, it's because we let not the Lord lead us, but we lead ourselves down some pathway where we become unsatisfied and ungrateful. We don't recognize God as being supreme ruler in our lives, that he is Lord, and we don't seek his will, and instead, we try to take care of ourselves. We get in a mess, and then we expect God to take care of us. So the third thing is, not only is it the root of building our lives and why we should, but this chapter talks about some of the ways we can build our lives or how to build our lives. And I like this. Look at it says in verse number 1. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. That's one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Number 1, because it's short. I can remember it. Yeah, I can memorize it. I know some of you guys say, I can't remember anything. I understand that. I don't remember things as well when it comes to memorizing scriptures and things like that. But make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. I can remember that. Another reason why I like that is because when somebody questions my singing, all I tell them is I'm making a joyful noise. That's all it is. It's a noise. It's joyful. And that's me. I make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And so what you say, Pastor, well, how can I really demonstrate my thanksgiving? Well, what I see here in this verse, it gives the idea of us doing it verbally. We're declaring his praise. I think everyone's supposed to do this. Well, why do you say that? Because it says it, all ye lands. That includes everyone. We should verbally praise the Lord. We should verbally sing and make a joyful noise. If you even study this word out a little bit, it talks about almost to the point of shouting and adoration towards God. It's like praise him, you know, thankful for him. And it's just a joyful noise because you love him so much and you're so thankful. So how are we supposed to build our lives with thanksgiving? It's number one, we need to be verbal about it. And I think this is coming into his presence. I think this is praying. I don't think this is our worship. And sometimes because of different movements, like the charismatic movement, I think we get scared away from showing emotions and things like that. That's not the way God's word is written. That's not what God intends for us. He wants us to make a joyful noise. He wants us to be able to come into his presence with singing. He wants us to do these things. So I don't think we should shy away from those things. I don't think we should become fleshly in those things, but also I don't think we should be scared of making joyful noise. So we should, if we're going to show how to demonstrate our thanksgiving, we make a joyful noise. Second thing is we serve the Lord with gladness. This is good, I think, because I see a lot of people who quote, serve the Lord, it just doesn't seem like doing a gladness. They're like, oh man, I got to go to church again. Oh man, I got to teach those brats in the back. Oh man, I got to run the bus. Oh man, I got to clean the church. I got to go to sing in the choir. I got to do this. It's like a chore to just serve God. And that's not what it's supposed to be at all. If we truly are thankful and we see God and we understand what he's done for us out of a heart of adoration, out of a heart of praise, we are going to just not become weary in well-doing, that's for sure. This word, this idea of gladness, speaks of mirth or joy. It's actually taking the service of the Lord and saying with rejoicing, almost in a smiling, giddy way, and like, man, I get to serve God. I get to preach. Man, I get to love my wife. I get to honor my parents. I get to submit to my husband. I get to do these things because I'm doing it for the Lord. I'm serving him. And I'm doing it with gladness. It's not like, man, I got to go to church again today. Man, mean we're going to sing another song? Man, why do we got to sing? Why do we got to hear preaching? Why do we got to do this? Why? It's a serving of God. You know, when we get a chance to serve the Lord, it should be a cause of rejoicing. It should be something that, hey, I'm up for whatever God wants for me. If that's what God wants, then I'll do it. And it's important to understand. This is not the mindset of many people today. You know, why is that? It's because they've lost that vision of God, and they're no longer thankful. Instead, they're looking for things to complain about, and they're looking for things. Why is that? Because they've lost the vision that God's given them. They've forgotten why. They know they're supposed to be thankful. They know that God is the Lord, but is not really Lord of their life. And because of that, something else has turned their attention away. They think about more things. They care about something else more. And because of that, because of their lack of fellowship of God, they start complaining. And when it comes to service, how can I get out of this? When can I ask somebody else to do this? You mean I have to do this? Why can't I? No. Serve the Lord with gladness. Just happy to be on the team. I tell you, when I was a kid, when I was in junior high, I had some eye problems. You know, I had gained a lot of weight. And I tried out for the junior high basketball team when I was in seventh grade. And boy, I was bad. I was really pretty heavy. Couldn't really run around that well. Couldn't do much. And I got cut. Can you believe that? I know most of you know my mad basketball skills I have. You know, none of the teenagers have ever beaten me 1-on-1. It's because I haven't played them for 3 or 4 years ago. You know, when they're little kids, they're easy to beat. Now that they're taller than me, I say, oh, you guys play. I've already beaten you too many times. But you know, I would have been happy just to be on the team. I would have been happy just to get sit on the bench. You know what? They asked me to be the manager. You know what the manager is? It's the guy that gets to carry the water bottles. I was excited about being the manager for the basketball team. Of course, I was a nerd back then, but, you know, I was excited for about just to be a part of the team. And I tell you, this is the idea of serving with gladness is, you know what? He's God. He gives me anything to do. If he gives me anything to do, I'm going to be excited about doing it. I'm going to serve him. I'm going to do it with gladness. Next thing I want you to think about, not only is it verbally, not only is it serving, but I think it is shown in your life. And look what it says in verse number 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. I think this gives the idea of entering into the courts. It's an activity that's not done in a corner. It's not done that's hidden. I think it's from the view of others. Simply put, we should not be ashamed to worship the Lord. We should not be ashamed to be thankful for God. We should not be ashamed to praise the Lord. We should not be ashamed to just lift up his holy name and say, thank you, Lord, for what you've done. I see you, Lord. I'm not going to hide myself in a corner. I'm just going to go ahead and praise you, Lord, whether I'm at church or whether I'm at work or whether I'm at the house or whether I'm at school or whether I'm in the store or in the mall. And I'm not saying you need to go around shouting, praise the Lord, over and over, up and down the street. It doesn't mean that we have to be odd. It doesn't mean that we have to be strange. But we don't have to be secretive when it comes to our praise for God. But it does speak about his courts. It does speak about into his gates. And I think it gives the idea of even inside our house. And I think we should be thankful here. I think as a church, there should be a place where we say, you know what? I'm going to give God praise and thanks, and I'm going to let that continually boil out of me. So when I leave this place, other people will know that I'm a Christian. Other people will know that I'm thankful for what God's done. People ask you, how are you doing today? I'm doing good. I'm doing wonderful. And some people look at you like you're crazy. God's good. He's been good to me. God's mercy is everlasting. I know that sometimes people are going through hard times and they're struggling. And sometimes they just are overwhelmed. And you can see it from the reactions of the things that are going on in this world, that there's a lot of people just don't know who God is. And as they don't know who God is, they've learned to become ungrateful, to become unthankful, because they can't understand that God's got a plan and purpose for their lives. They can't see the fact that God is good and that his mercy lasts forever and that his truth endures and that he will take care of us if we'll allow him to shepherd us. So now let's do it verbally. Let's make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Now, once again, it does sound like noise for some of us. Some of us can sing, some of us can't. But you know what? The Lord wants us to sing his praises. He says, enter even into his presence with singing. Now also, serve the Lord with gladness. Let's do it with a good heart. Let's do it being excited. And you know what? Sometimes our young people need to see this. I see our young people sometimes more excited about serving God than our adults. And that's not a good thing. It's nice. Oh, yeah, you see them, and they're up there, and they're singing, and they're serving, and they're showing, and they're doing all these things. It's great. That's what the young people should do. Yes, but you know what? Somebody should be an example to them and lead them, and that way they need to be serving the Lord gladness. It's not, oh, man, I got to sing in the youth choir again, or, oh, man, I got to help do this at work day, or, oh, man. No, we're serving the Lord gladness, and then we're showing it to other people, too. We're not ashamed of him. So when we think of this verse, and as we get to this Thanksgiving season, next week, you know, Brother Halsey will be preaching. So I won't be able to speak next Sunday night. So that's part of the reason why I wanted to preach a little bit about Thanksgiving and thanks a little bit about praise. And this is one of my favorite chapters when it comes to this, because it's just pretty much simple. It's easy to lay out. You know, he is God. He did make us. It's not about us. We shouldn't overvalue ourselves. If we're going to be thankful people, we're going to see that he's God, and we're going to see that the fact that he takes care of us, and that he's just good, and that his mercy endure forever. Tonight, are we really truly thankful? Are we in our hearts and lives really thankful for what God's done? I know. I'm thankful for my wife. I'm thankful for my kids. I'm thankful for our house. I'm thankful for our car. It's easy when everything's going well, but when hard times come and he says, rejoice, you know what? We're still supposed to rejoice. We're supposed to be doing these things all the time. Is that the case in our lives? I think we all know some bitter people, don't we? I think we all know some people that need a gratitude adjustment and the idea that they need to be a little bit more grateful, thankful. for what God's done. And I see those people that are picketing about, and once again, I know as Americans, you're allowed to protest, right? You're allowed to protest and you're allowed to do things to show your protest against other things. I understand that. That's a right. You're not allowed to go loot and pull people out of cars and stop traffic and all that. But I see people there that they just don't seem like they're thankful. They feel like they didn't get their way, and many of them are millennials, and many of them are younger people today. And you know what? It's because many times parents have given in to them, and they've never really been told no in their lives, and they're sitting there saying, no, I want this. It didn't happen. It didn't turn out the way I wanted to, so I'm going to guess that's ungratefulness, is when we see God and understand God. And parents, it's important. Sometimes your kids need to hear no. Parents, kids should not be running the house. You know, that's not the God-given authority in the home. You know, it's important. We want to teach thanksgiving and praise to our kids. It begins with that root of seeing God and understanding God's will and entering into his presence. And then teaching our kids, look, God's good. Even when we didn't get what we want, even when we lost the game, even when someone got hurt, even when our friend wasn't nice to us, he's good. His mercy's still there. We don't get what we deserve. Instead, his truth is there forever. He takes care of us. So show it. Explain it. Give it out. Make a joyful noise. Serve him with gladness. And enter into his courts with praise. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed for a time of invitation.